Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Fighting Words on the Fighting Words News Network. Fighting Words is brought to you each and every night of the week. Grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and see somebody in uniform, please, please make sure that you acknowledge that they're there. These are very tough times domestically and in foreign lands for anybody in uniform. We also want to dedicate these programs to those on the front line fighting the coronavirus. It's not easy to be out there. We understand it. It's not easy on your families. We understand that, and we appreciate each and every one of you. The nurses, doctors, dentists, EMTs, firefighters, and all first responders. So we wanted to make sure everybody was covered on that one. And well, guys, it's been another dull week, I guess. I guess the biggest news that we would have was that Ron DeSantis, the governor of the state of Florida, has deemed WWE, UFC, and MMA as a necessary venue. And they are somehow going to allow some fights to go on at Disney World. For those of you not in this, in the state, Disney World has about 48,000 employees. Each one of them, except for the major people in the offices, have been furloughed. Both Disney World and Universal have shut down. They've been down now for over a month, and each and every one of the people there have been furloughed and are now on unemployment. We hope to get them back up soon. And in talking to the governor, his reasoning was that the economic decline is just devastating across the world, but Florida is just devastated at this point in time. So he's trying to get something done. McMahon, I guess, has got some big contracts with the different venues to carry it, pay-per-view venues, and that'll bring at least some monies into the state. Bob, I'd ask you a question earlier in the week about Dana White saying that UFC will host events in the next month. Does that have anything to do with coming to Florida, or is that going to stay in California?
Partially. Well, it was a big thing when that hit that Florida deemed MMA events and public professional fighting as necessities. And hallelujah, we're good to go. And so, like we've been talking since the beginning, Dana White is going to try to be probably the first professional sport back on TV to generate fans that he would never have had before. You know, people that were so still caught up into football and soccer and baseball and whatever. So he's still pushing forward. So now the latest rumors from that side is UFC 249 is going to be pushed back to my birthday on May 9th. Dana White's going between now that Florida's open. He's pushing. He hints about what's called a Fighter Island. No one knows where that is yet. That's an undisclosed location. But then he's also pushing for the UFC Apex, which is a facility they built across the street in Vegas. But Vegas is shut down until April 30th, so they're pushing for May 9th. So there is hints that it could be in Florida. Possibly Vegas or quote unquote this Fighter Island. We'll have to see what comes of that. In interviews, he's talking about how the UFC Apex would host everyone locally, but we're going to run out of a lot of U.S. fighters really fast. This UFC Island up and coming that would help international fighters get in and out real quick. So don't know where that's at yet, but I still think he's pushing forward, and it looks like May 9th is we're going to have our first live event.
Well, you know, I'm glad you said something about 249 because earlier in the week, Jorge Masvidal said that the price was just not enough for him to have a bout with Usman. Do you know anything about that? Can you lighten our fans on it?
Yeah. I mean, same thing. Usman, with this corona shutdown and with the internet the way it is, and anybody, we've talked about that in the past with our listeners, that a lot of people are talking smack to get that opportunity, to get that chance to fight, which doesn't always pan out. It did recently in some other cases. But so Usman was calling out Masvidal because Masvidal is the top contender right now. And being the top contender, he gets to pretty much ask for a certain amount of money. And so, or at least his management can argue that out. So, like we've talked in the past, MMA guys want to, get paid as much as they can before they get out because you never know what's going to happen. So Usman, or a.k.a. Snoozman, as he's been called in the past, for having boring fights. Masvidal knows he's the one that's pulling the crowd on this, so he's going to push for more money. So, yeah, he rejected it, sent it back down the pipeline, and as soon as the money's there, he'll show up. He's a combatant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good, good. Hey, Chris, I had a chance to see my friend Keith Thurman earlier in the week. Yeah, he's doing a lot of cardio and things like that. They can't get into the gym because they're closed down. But he was telling me that he sent a message to Terrence Crawford to either send him a contract or shut his mouth. What kind of a fight do you think that would be?
Well, I think Crawford would take the lead in that fight, and I think Keith would proceed to back up like he usually does, jump around the ring in reverse. I'm wondering if Crawford could be caught coming in left-handed. It's pretty hard to catch a left-hander coming in, even though they tell you always throw right hands at him. Sometimes that's not as easy as it sounds. But it would be a hell of a fight. It would be a hell of a two contrasting styles, you know, and it would make a good fight. I'd like to see it because just what Keith said, you know, either show up or shut up, you know,
right.
One or the other. He started hearing about it, I guess, you know.
Well, he
Keith,
is, and so
Keith
is.
Go ahead.
No, that's all right. Go ahead.
He's not going to change his style. He's going to continue to fight from a backed up position. He's not going to go forward.
Right.
And I think Crawford, he likes to box, but he'll move forward too with that right jab and so forth. It would be a good fight. It would be a good fight. Two smart fighters. One guy adjusts better than the other. Keith has one style, but Crawford can adjust to more than one style. He can adjust to a fighter style right in the ring. And so I'd give him the edge, to be honest with you.
Uh-huh.
I'd give Crawford the edge.
Uh-huh.
If it comes off.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're all waiting for Pacquiao. I mean, Pacquiao's only one person. And he's getting old now, and he's, how many times can Pacquiao go to the well? You know.
Mm-hmm.
So that division is an exciting division with a lot of good fighters. It's got to start, getting back on the map, so to speak. It's got to break with this virus. Everybody got to break. Now it's time to fight again, make some money,
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, this morning, the big news out of the Philippines was that Manny had been tested and came up negative for the coronavirus, most of the people in the Senate there had come again were tested and came up negative. So at least that's good. And according to everything I read and everything I've heard, the heat is actually the killer of the virus. Although, as I was telling Bob off the air, just in this county alone, we've had 329 as of 7 o'clock this morning, 329 cases, and we've had 19 deaths. Now, many of those deaths were people in a nursing home that were debilitated and for whatever reasons. But it's still a very serious thing, and we hope that everybody is taking it serious and staying the 6 feet away. I'm not really sure we're going to be able to open up on May 1st, but we'll follow directions on that. But please, if you're out there and you have to be out there, please wear your mask.
Yeah, we're having a lot of confinement in the nursing homes up here. They're not allowing anybody out of those homes. They're staying in there.
Right.
A place like Marist Grove, there's 1,000 units in here, 2,000 units.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of people in there. They have to. They're almost confined to their rooms. They're not allowed out, and they don't want visitors.
Right.
So they're doing it. They're confining and they're following the instructions on their own, more or less. Because they all know that they're fragile. Everybody there has underlying medical conditions that are severe. I mean, not everybody, but the majority of them, you know?
No.
And it would be devastating if that broke loose in a place like Maris Grove or any of that.
Right.
Yeah, even in the prison, where they're worried about the prison up here. The prisoners getting
I saw that.
You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's always been the case. You're always going to have that. Mm-hmm. They used to get every disease that came along anyway. Christ, if you take an inventory, if you take a questionnaire on the inmates, it'll scare you half to death. You'll start running. You want to get the hell out of there as soon as possible.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I know. One time I asked this guy something about hepatitis. He had four kinds. Four kinds. And the nurse, he came to my office for an extraction. And then my nurse walked in the room, wasn't paying attention, and walked into a needle that I had sitting at. I had just given him a needle to give him Novocaine. She let out a scream, "Oh my God, what does he have?" So I said to Pussy, "Chris, what did you have?" And and she's out in the hall and, you know, sighing and you know, upset as hell because there's nothing he missed. He said, "And by the way, I had typhoid fever." I says, "Christ, that went out with John Wayne and the Apaches 200 years ago." You know, he said, "How the hell did you get that?" He said, "I was running drugs in Mexico." And I picked up typhoid fever. Well, fortunately, Nancy, right away, she says to me, "Is that contagious?" I said, no, that doesn't pass through the bloodstream. You know, you see, you'll be all right. You got another week to live.
Hey,
you'll be okay.
Hey, Bob.
So.
There was something come through late this afternoon that Randy Couture was raising hell that he didn't think that there should be an exception to UFC. Where's that all coming from? Is it just that he's not getting anything and that he feels that he has to put his name out there? Is that all that is?
I haven't heard the whole story about that, but I'll tell you from what I've met of Randy Couture and the one time and what I've heard, you know, behind the thing. Randy Couture is pretty much Captain America. He's one of the greatest guys, very kind, very about the public, good dude. You know, recently in the news, you know, walked himself to the hospital when he had a heart attack, you know. Thing. He has no reason to jump into the limelight unless it's serious. I just think he's expressing his feelings on that. He knows, you know, he's been in the UFC since the beginning, so he knows, and I don't want to say the greed, but, you know, the marketing skills of Dana White and stuff, and he's going to be more of a fighter advocate than any man or any promoter. So I didn't hear the exact stuff coming from Randy, but I'll give you, like I said, a little history on Randy. He's a really good guy, only stands up when totally necessary.
Good.
How old is Couture now?
He's got to be 56. Close to 40, isn't he, Bob? Wow,
56.
I didn't think he was that old.
Oh, yeah, he was still fighting at 40 and doing well, unlike myself.
Yeah, he's past 40. He's been fighting Ortiz for 20 years. You know, every time I turn around, they're fighting again. It's going to be like a Rocky V, you know? How long? Ortiz, he seems to survive and come back and fight again. You know,
I'm waiting for the 40 division that has metal in their body to open up, and then I'm back.
You're coming back. They're going to have the senior division like they do in golf. Have the old guys come back. Yeah. There's room for another tour, you know. Well,
sure.
What the hell? Half the fighters are over 40 now. When I was a kid, 35 was ancient. It was ancient in the ring. You know, and now 35, you're just getting started. But times have changed, athletes have changed, conditioning and all that has changed. The baseball play, everybody's playing longer now, living longer, their careers are longer. You know,
good.
So we'll see what happens.
Well, you know, your buddy made made news again this week. Aram says that Manny is ready to set a fight with Crawford possibly by December. I guess, one, do you think that'll ever come off? And two, what do you think the winner of that would be? Chris?
Well, after seeing Manny Pacquiao fight Keith Thurman, he's got a good chance. He hasn't lost that much. He defies gravity, so to speak, you know? He's made a fool out of me about 20 times. Probably do it again. But he'd match up well, you know, because they're both left-handers. The only thing puzzling about Crawford, one of the players, like he's left-handed. But Pacquiao is left-handed. He's actually faster. His hands are faster. Mm-hmm. His feet are faster. But and then again, Crawford's really only 140 pounds. You know, really, he fights best at 140. He'd be moving up. Well, that would be about even. He could carry 47 very easily. Well, I'd like to see that fight. I think it would be a great way for Pacquiao to go out. You know, and whatever he does, I hope he doesn't fight anymore. If he gets a guy like Crawford, I hope he packs it in and then bows out with you know, there's no need. There's no need for him to continue on. I mean, he's got possibly all the money he could probably handle.
Sure.
You know, let somebody else take their turn, you know. Somebody else's turn now. So once more, and then goodbye, Manny. You know, he's going to lose it all in one night some night, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to take a young, strong guy to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And what shocked me when he fought Keith is he could still take a punch.
Yeah.
Keith wrapped him pretty good, and he took everything. I was surprised.
So was Dan.
Keith won a lot. Yeah. You know. I was flabbergasted when Marquez knocked him out. He ran right into a right hand. I mean, it was the perfect storm. He was moving in just the right time, and Marquez was set up and let that right hand go at just the right time. And, you know, one of them things that doesn't happen too often, but everything was perfect, you know, for a knockout. But that's not going to happen again. I don't think anybody's going to do it, you know. Knock him out with one shot like that ever again. So,
sure.
Well, I'd like to see it.
What do you think, Bob?
I'm watching reruns. All I'm doing is watching reruns.
Yeah.
Last night I watched a Caleb Plant and another middleweight. And the guy lost the first 9 rounds and won the last 3. And he started coming on. He started figuring Caleb Plant out. I started, and it was a decent fight. It was a good fight, but the true winner, you know, won the decision, you know, won by 3 or 4 rounds. So it was a good fight. But Caleb Pusey fights off the right. He lays back on his right foot all the time, and he throws from he spreads his feet out about 8 miles. So when he's standing up, he's 6'1". By the time he spreads his feet out, he's 5'9". He fights from a different position, you know? He lays back like Marciano used to lay back on his right foot. And I'm wondering when a guy was going to figure it out. Damn if he didn't. He won the last 3 and almost won the last round. So, but he's a good fighter.
What do you think about that Aram said with Pacquiao, Bob? Do you have any idea?
I don't know those guys enough. No, but, I'm a kind of a Pacquiao fan. I've seen him a few times. I just love, you know, hearing Dr. Chris talk about, you know, the stance, you know, how, you know, they're coming off the back foot or coming off the front foot, because you guys can do that, you know, versus MMA. We can't necessarily do that because, you know, you get too heavy on that front foot, you got to expect that leg kick on that front foot. You know, you get too heavy on that front foot, you got to expect the wrestler to shoot in on you, you know, that forward motion. So it's just, you know, it's cool hearing you know, Chris break it down and stuff, how they can come off that back foot and play that right hand and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so, you know, I don't know enough about both of them to, but I'll pick Pacquiao just because, of what he's done for charity, you know, I like.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. You know, Chris, earlier you were talking about Teofimo Lopez. He's got Vasily Lomachenko coming up. Was supposed to be May 9th. I don't know whether they're going to be able to get it out or not. But that seems to be a hot fight that everybody seems to be looking at this week. What do you think?
Which Lopez?
Teofimo.
The young guy, the real
yeah.
young guy
mm-hmm.
that's the hot
yeah.
shot that he's moving ahead awful fast, that young boy.
Mm-hmm.
They're really moving him fast. They should really. He's a young guy. He's got a lot of, you know, take it easy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like trainers that overmatch their young fighters so quick.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of people do that I know. They, you know, they get all hung up on their fighters, think they can whip anybody, and they overmatch
mm-hmm.
them. And
mm-hmm.
I'd like to see that young guy just sit back for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He did come out, you know, and score a knockout over that on that last fight he had, which is surprising. I was surprised
mm-hmm.
that, you know, he moved up that fast. What he did, he knocked the guy out.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But if I was his manager, I'd sit back and wait a little bit, give him a little time, let him mature.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna grow into a welterweight eventually. You know, I think he's fighting at 140 now, isn't he?
Yes.
He's going to outgrow Lomachenko. If I were Lomachenko,
mm-hmm.
I'd stay the hell away from him. Let him go. Lomachenko
mm-hmm.
got nothing to gain fighting him. Let him go. Let him outgrow the division, which is what he's going to do. And
sure.
then go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Lomachenko is a small guy, just an exceptional
mm-hmm.
fighter. Great fighter, but
mm-hmm.
he's a small man. He doesn't need to spot weight all the time. That gets old real
mm-hmm.
quick.
Sure.
So, hey Bob, I was listening to you about fighting off the right foot. You never think about kicking. That damn
You're
foot
right.
comes around there pretty damn fast to kick your head right the hell off.
Oh,
you know?
Nothing like a good kick to the mouth, Dr. Chris.
Oh, I can see. What makes you think I never got one before? but you know, if you've got too much weight on that front foot, it's a disaster.
Oh,
I can
done.
Understand where kicking like that would be a disaster. You wouldn't be able to get the hell away from it. If you lay back on that right foot, you got time to go backwards a little bit and kind of block it with your left hand a little bit, do something, but. Man, I would be a disaster for a guy that's a good kicker. And I see some damn good kickers. I mean,
they're lightning fast. It's a crossover when people come from boxing to my sport. I'm like, you know, you put a lot of weight on that front leg. It's like, you know, I used to get the dog to play with me by putting a pork chop around my neck. So that's kind of like putting that pork chop around your neck, you know. I'm going to jump right over
right.
that. You gotta, and then the first thing I tell people, because they'll be bringing their hands down for leg kicks, I'm like, the hands protect the face, the legs protect the legs.
Right.
You know, you gotta learn how to pick that stuff up.
Right. That's difficult. Boy, I'll tell you what, the feet are deadly.
Oh, it changes things.
I mean, oh my God, it's dead. You could. I watched a seventh degree black belter in West Philadelphia. He opened the gym, and I went up there. And when I walked out of that gym, I thought, man, nothing's worse than the feet. Man, when they start kicking, especially when they jump up in the air and kick sideways right in the face, kick you right in the face with the heel of their foot, smack you right in the face. And those guys are, and they land. They seem like they always land on their feet too. You know, those little Japanese guys.
They're under 200 pounds.
That's
big guys can't do that.
Yeah, this guy was about this little Japanese guy was about 135. And I said, boy, it's a different sport when you include the feet. You know,
Oh, Dr. Chris, YouTube some of those Muay Thai guys that are like straight kicking bamboo trees in half and, you know, with their shin bone. Like, it's for real. That shin bone does a lot of damage.
Oh. Devastating. I wouldn't want to do that.
I feel that right up my spine now.
Yeah, right in the nose. I can feel it in my nose, straightening my nose out. Holy Christ. You know,
hey, Bob,
that's a wicked sport, I'll tell you.
For sure. But with Ronda Rousey trying to get all the press now is saying, you know, she was the best fighter. She's having problems with, I guess she's having problems with whites, so she's downing UFC. She's doing this. Is there any, you know, do you know anything about that?
I don't. So I don't know. Again, Rousey dropped out of the UFC a while back. Contract's up. She went for the money, just like Ken Shamrock back in the day. She went WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been in WWE for a while. And again, those events got shut down. UFC got shut down. Ronda's got a good publicist. You know, she's doing movies and stuff now. She's making her coin in WWE. I haven't heard from her since she's been in WWE. So what I think she's doing on the internet is just that. She's coming out because she could do a crossover. You know, WWE is reaching. Dana White's still pushing for his first, you know, main event, you know, as soon as possible. So if there's any kind of crossover, I'm sure she'd do it. I mean, you know, we're all chasing that mighty dollar. And if WWE shut down, she comes back and talks up a little bit, she could get a title fight. You know, she has a huge draw.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Another question I had about was, I'm going to kill the name again, Henry Cujo. He keeps calling out John Jones, and he's calling out Khabib, saying that they're afraid to fight him, that he's going to take them down. What's the story on that? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, Henry Cejudo or Cejudo, I mess up his name too. Yeah, so we talked about him a couple of weeks. We took a week off for Easter. Happy Easter, everybody, or Happy Resurrection Sunday, however you roll. But it worked. So Henry was calling everyone out. We talked about it 2 weeks ago, how he's talking about Dominic Cruz. And, you know, you make enough internet chatter, and I brought this up earlier because it did work. He's been calling everybody out. And according to right now, UFC 249, if it goes forward on May 9th, they've added him to the lineup for three title fights. They'll have Amanda Nunes versus Felicia Spencer, Henry Cejudo versus Dominic Cruz. So that worked. Enough smack talk, enough internet chatter, Cruz and Henry. So Henry will probably be quiet for a little while. He's pulling Cruz out of retirement or off the bench, if you will, because he's been announcing and that kind of stuff lately. And then and then because Khabib's locked in Russia, they're going to go Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje. So I heard that recently. They're scheduling 12 fights versus your normal 8 to 10 on a pro card. Again, Dana really wants to get those sports fanatics that can't lock a main event since everything else is shut down. So he's trying to put together the best card possible. So I'm looking forward to it. We'll see if it happens May 9th.
Well, you know, there was the rags had information that Dana White had made some kind of a deal with Russia to get Khabib out. Is that just a publicity stunt, or is that a possibility? Do you know?
I think maybe both. I don't know. I don't run with the big dogs anymore, so I don't know who's behind the scenes. The most recent announcement I've heard is Ferguson is going to fight Justin Gaethje. So to me, that says that they can't get Khabib out of Russia. So having said that, I mean, if he's locked up against Justin Gaethje, who's a fighter out of Colorado, then I would say that the Khabib thing has been only just pushed off momentarily. Or to make things up, maybe they match him against somebody else coming soon. So going forward, I'm sure that, Ferguson and Gaethje will be, again, phenomenal to watch. Bad for Ferguson because he doesn't get the Khabib shot. but I'm sure that I'll be on deck as soon as this stuff blows over and people start traveling worldwide.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, now, I guess my question after that would be, if they do get him out of Russia and they do get him fighting again, who would you see as his next opponent?
Well, if they're gonna put, because Tony Ferguson was supposed to be that guy, so if they're gonna put Ferguson against Gaethje, they either push that back or, again, just to go after the fans, maybe they throw Connor back in there. Maybe they throw, maybe they're saving Mastival for that, to offer him the correct amount of money. I mean, so they've got people in the background to throw at him, but now that this coronavirus has messed up the whole schedule and everyone, has kind of traded fighters, man, I would expect the top of the line matchups coming out of the UFC camp as quickly as possible. And so it'll be someone spectacular, no doubt.
Let me just go one more question on that then. If this thing does come about, and if they do open it up, we already know that the Governor DeSantis has said yes, that they could have fights. What's the earliest do you think that would be? They'd be ready to be trained and be back into a decent fight?
I'm reading stuff online and I've been kind of following it and stuff, and they have announced it's going to be May 9th. So that means these guys have already been booked. Doing some more research, this Fighter Island, I kept thinking it was, somewhere, international, but basically it's probably like an Indian reservation in or around California. Okay. So he's got some sort, because they want to make their money. Their casinos are closed, everything's closed. So somebody's going to get
mm-hmm.
And the Fighter Island might just be because a few of the guys that I've seen on online, getting ready, they've gotten a call, as far as April 6th and said, hey, look, we'll fly into X, airport in San Diego or into California, and then you'll be picked up in a car, you'll be driven to this whatever, no more than three people, just kind of thing. So they're going through all the steps to keep people completely isolated. No fans will be able to attend, but they'll keep everyone spread apart and bring them only together for the ring for probably a pay-per-view event, whether it's on the good part is that, because the Native Americans have undocumented land, I guess, here in the United States, so they get followed by their own rules. So if they can get them there, they can hold these events. So I think that's what they're pushing for.
Okay. Hey, Chris, we have a medical question that one of our callers has here. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I want to know if the good doctor ever fought in Valley Forge.
Okay.
Yeah, I had my nose straightened there. It looked better. I went up there to get my nose. I had a little plastic surgery done on it.
I thought that was you, doctor. I saw that nose on the front page of a paper. It took up the first three pages.
Hey, I got a lot of compliments after I got hit in the nose real good because it created a little bump in there, and it looked a lot better.
Hey, I got a question for you. Here's this guy. Promoted civil rights and integration, and he did not like Muhammad Ali because he went with the Nation of Islam, and he's from Brooklyn, and he was a Golden Glove Olympic gold medalist. And he was trained by Constantine. Constantine Gossamato.
Wow.
From Brooklyn.
Which one? You got me on that. Let me think now.
1952 middleweight Olympic gold medalist.
In 52 or 62?
52. 5'2".
Well, that's the year I...
you were born.
No. 53. Let's see. 54. If I'd have won the Philadelphia division, the AAUs, you got an automatic Olympic tryout, and that would have been the 54 Olympics, so 52. I'm trying to remember, being a back over who the hell won.
Middleweight Olympic gold medalist. At age 21, he's the youngest world heavyweight champion. Held the title for 3 years. And got it back in 1960. Any idea?
Not really. I'm trying to think. Getting a little confused here.
He ended up in reform. He was from reform school, a protege of Costamato.
No, you got me.
1952 Olympic gold medal, 21 youngest world heavyweight champion, peekaboo style.
Youngest heavyweight champion was Tyson.
This was Floyd Patterson. Floyd Patterson.
Oh, Christ. Floyd Patterson?
Yep.
He fought, yeah, well, when he won the title, he won it from Archie Moore. He was young. He got it after Marciano retired. And then Archie Moore got in with him, and he won it from Moore. It was straight out. There was no box-off. It was considered a heavyweight championship. Floyd Patterson, was he that young?
Yeah.
You know, he's not a big man. I met him in person after the Ali fight, when Ali beat the hell out of him, and we had press passes, and we did an interview down in Madison Square Garden. Me and Zeke, we interviewed Ali, and he was telling us what a great fight Floyd put up. Well, it was one of his toughest fights ever. Well, Floyd started laughing. Right now, he only weighed 185 pounds, you know, and he didn't look. Ali looked 50 pounds heavier than him in a suit, you know.
He was
a small guy, and he held the title 3 years till Liston come along, and Liston wiped him out fast. Well, he beat all those Englishmen. He fought those Englishmen that couldn't break an egg, you know. And he really didn't fight anybody. First guy he fought of any caliber was Liston. Really, he really went through some soft opponents. Gustavato really protected him. But
yeah,
you know, you just couldn't
guy.
Stay away from Liston. Yeah. Couldn't stay away from Liston. You had to fight Liston eventually.
I just had these little nuggets.
Yeah, I just couldn't. Yeah, you got me. You got me. I couldn't.
I mean, that's unusual to get you. Very unusual.
Well, yeah, but I, you know what? If you ask me a question now, you know, give me a half hour to go sit in a corner somewhere, it'll all come to me. You know, I'm getting up there. My mind's not as quick as it used to be.
I thought I put some arms on that punching bag for you.
I'll tell you, I haven't hit the speed bag in a long time. I got to start back. I'm going to make a film for guys over 80. My son's going to put me on Facebook. I'm going to be I'm going to be a hero to all the 80-year-old guys around here in the Philadelphia area. But I don't know how I can get this.
Have you talked about getting back in the ring with this COVID 19 restrictions or whatever?
Well, we were just talking about Ron DeSantis opening up UFC and WWE, but that's as far. And Bob was just talking about the possibility of going to California with the next bout, and the fact that you know, they have to keep their distance and can't have more than three people in a car. And that's about as far as we got at this point.
Okay, I think it'll be a while. But hey, guys, for the last 5 weeks, I've been talking about the coronavirus on my podcast on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. And a lot of good information, a lot of good specialists on, talked about colloidal silver, ozone, how to get your immune system really pumped up, because that's really what you need to do to fight this thing. But this Tuesday, we're going to detour a little bit, and the focus of the podcast will be on Dr. Fauci and how he's never been right since he got into politics in 1982, and maybe how he's been funding the Wuhan Lab in China with our money, with NIH money, millions and millions of dollars to develop this virus that got out of there. So a lot of good people coming on to talk about it, and one guy even thinks he should be tried for war crimes because they shut down his research at in North Carolina, so he took the money and opened up that lab in China. So the guy has never been right. He's invested heavily in vaccines. He's a personal friend of Bill Gates's. He's a personal friend of this guy who messed up everything at WHO. So he's got a lot of baggage, and he's 80 years old now. So he's looking for a Nobel Prize, everybody feels. But we're going to give you some information this Tuesday at 4. Maybe to put a little light on this man.
Yeah,
Ron, what did you say about colloidal silver? Did you say something about silver?
Yeah, colloidal silver, ionic silver. It has the ability to break down that lipid coat of this virus, so it destroys it. Once you get through the coating of it, which is a lipopolysaccharide, it destroys the virus. And so we got people inhaling it, putting it up their nose, putting it in their ears, drinking a teaspoon twice a day as a preventative. And it really works good. In fact, it works so good, Facebook took my video, my podcast down. YouTube took my podcast down, and Stitcher took it down because it was all natural and it's cheap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Anthony Bonadio, I'll never forget him. He swore by silver water. He swore. He sold it all. He sold it all over Marcosuc, all over Delaware County. He had a name for it, but maybe he was right all along.
It goes back to the 1700s. It goes back even early. Our grandfathers used to put silver dollars in the milk. You know, those metal milk jugs to preserve it because the silver would leach out of silver dollars, keep the milk fresh. So it goes back a long way, but it's cheap. You know, it's like the hydrochlorothiazide for malaria. It's only 30 cents a pill. That's why these guys that with the pharmaceutical companies like Fauci, that's why they never had anything good to say about it. They can't make a ton of money off it. It's only 30 cents a pill, and you only need two the first day and one a day for the next 5 days. You know, so they don't like that.
Well, I got one question for you. A woman about 98 or in her 90s survived the virus. They let her out of the hospital, and they gave her a big hand going down the hallway. And the TV station and the press never told you what drug they used to cure her. Are you familiar with that case at all?
It's a killer.
A woman in her 90s.
No, I'm not familiar with it. But, you know, the only thing they could have been giving her was the Z-Pak and the Plaquenil or the the malaria drug.
Yeah, you would think they would mention that on television and across the nation. Geez, a woman 90-some years old survived the virus and tell you what drug she used.
Yeah,
Christ, they didn't say a word. You would think so. So you don't like Fauci?
No, because, you know, just on this virus alone, he was against Trump closing off the borders to China. He thought there would be 2 million deaths. There's only been 60,000, which is a lot, don't get me wrong, but we lose 60,000 a year for the flu anyway. He said there'd be 150,000 to 200,000. Then he revised that down. And then when they mentioned vaccines, he wants to have them, but these vaccines have RNA in them that permanently attach to your genes. And I think that anybody has more than two or three brain cells left won't have their genetic code permanently altered for the rest of their life. So he's never been right. He's for the vaccine industry. He's on the Gates Foundation board. he's hooked into the NIH, which has many patents, and through his, the company that him and Gates hooked up with, they patented a coronavirus test and a treatment, the Moderna. So he's involved. He's been around too long. He's a deep stater. Time for some new blood and new thinking.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So well, why don't you give our listeners a plug. Let them know where you are and how to get to listen to your program.
So the program is, we take no advertisements. It's called Dr. Ron, Unfiltered, Uncensored. We're in our sixth year. Block Talk Radio, Dr. Ron, Dr. Ron, Unfiltered, Uncensored, 347-989-8899, 347-989-8899. And we reserve 2 hours for this because it's going to be a hell of an expose. They may just either shoot me or take me off the radio after this one. So, hey, guys, I'm in good health. I don't take any medications or anything. So if you find me dead, they don't like what I said Tuesday.
Yeah, which hand do you, which hand, right, what's your dominant hand? Your dominant hand?
Wow.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, look, thanks, Frank. Thanks. Hey, Chris, stay well, and we'll talk during the week.
Yeah, okay, Ronnie. So far,
all right,
so
guys,
good.
Thanks for the
goodbye.
Time. All right, love you guys.
Ron, take care. Don't wake up dead.
Talk to you.
Thank you. See ya. Give him out, Chris.
Hey, Chris, what do you – Chris, we got a guy waiting in the wings there, Devin Haney. He wants Lomachenko in the worst way, but he wants it to – Lomachenko's got a fight with Lopez, so he wants the winner of that fight. Where do you think that would go?
What weight is he? What's he fighting at?
He's at 147.
That's too big for Lomachenko.
Yeah.
That's too big.
Probably
Lomachenko should not fight. That would be getting closer. But Lomachenko shouldn't fight anybody at 47. He's not that tall a man. It would nullify his skills. I think his skills could be overpowered by a welterweight.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be too much for him. And I really hope he stays in his 130-135 category. I think he's devastating at that weight, moving up to 47. You know, everybody wants to fight him. You know, because he's a mediocre puncher, but he's not a great puncher. But he's a beautiful boxer. He's very well, the best balanced fighter I think I've ever seen, and. You know, but God, you know, these guys think, oh, I'll call them out. Well, yeah, well, how about you weigh 175 pounds? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody,
right.
Why the hell should he move up and fight at 47? Why should he do that? It's not crazy.
Sure.
I think some of these guys
are
getting out of hand with their calling out bull crap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I hope it doesn't happen, really.
Uh-huh.
I have quite a thing to think about. I haven't seen Lomachenko for a while. He hasn't fought for a while.
No, he's been at that 18 months since his last fight.
Yeah, I want to say it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, the other
but
one.
But he's always there. He's always there. There's plenty of money to be made at fighting at 135. You know,
mm-hmm.
He's got this Gervonta Davis. Coming up strong. That's going to be somebody he's going to have a showdown with. Gervonta Davis, the guy from Baltimore.
Yeah.
That's who I see as his next super fight, him. That kid can punch, you know, and he's about that weight class. And, you know, he's small. It looks like he's small enough to, you know, short enough to be outboxed, you know, which. It would be a damn good fight. That's who I think he should be shooting for because, Christ, he's not, you know, he can't go on forever.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a great fight, you know. But, I mean, a guy 147, nah.
I don't even want to say it.
Well, you know, so I'm glad you brought that name up because in their heyday, Champs, all the Joey Tiberi and his uncles, they managed him, Davis. When they started back up, they had him, they had Frankie, they had Ray Robinson, and a kid by the name of Hendricks, which is I've never seen him do anything since. And the other guys, well, Frankie had retired mm-hmm. because he's a he got passed the sergeant test, and he's the director of training now at Newport News Police Department. Ray is still boxing and has his own team now, the Golden Glovers, that he's taking around. Joey's retired now because he just felt he was getting too old and he wasn't getting any more than four rounds, six rounds, and he had a little baby come along, so he wanted to he has a career yeah. now with UPS. And Dave, of course, we had high hopes for him when he opened his gym there in South Wilmington, but evidently the money people backed away from it, and so I understand that's no longer a thing mm-hmm. down there. So, but yeah, the Gervonta Davis is a hell of a fighter. I mean, for his size, he's fast too.
Yeah, good puncher, real good puncher.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of Keith, in that he, you know, those hands are fast,
mm-hmm.
and so. Well, guys, we're just about up against our clock here. I appreciate your time tonight, Bob. Fantastic job as always, Chris. Thanks a million for everything. I appreciate everything that you do for us, and I want to thank Dr. Ron for coming on to bring a. Geez, that's 2 weeks in a row we've stumped you, Chris. Wow.
You got me here. Well, I wasn't thinking back, you know. Youngest heavyweight fighter here. He was such a non-entity, Floyd Patterson. You know?
Right.
He was like an interim.
Right.
He wasn't really a true heavyweight.
Mm-hmm.
I was never a fan of his, to be honest with you. And
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter how. I mean, he had the great connections. He moved him right in, and Archie fought Archie when he was 44 years old, and I didn't like that fight at all. You know, a little short left hook, Archie went down. I thought, wait a minute. You know, Marciano hit him right on the forehead with a concrete block hands 50 times, and he took him. And you know, I still feel suspect about that fight.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Archie Moore up at Larry Holmes' testimonial. He's got a little head.
Mm-hmm.
His head's about the size mm-hmm. of a size six. It would fit into a size six hat. And I'm talking to him, I'm laughing. Because I like to think mm-hmm. I was Marciano punched him in the forehead about 90 times. You know? And Marciano had nowhere else to hit him because them big arms were up across his face.
Sure.
So Marciano just hit him right on top of the damn head. You know, I started laughing, you know. He got arthritis real bad. He wouldn't shake hands with anybody. So
mm-hmm.
I was laughing. He's very comical, grouchy old guy, funny as hell. Doesn't try to be, but he's funny. But, that kind of threw me off, Floyd Patterson. And he was in the Olympics.
Yeah.
He fought at 165 in the Olympics. Same weight
uh-huh.
as Ali, at 166. Pound class about that. They were both the same weight. And Ali got a lot bigger. Patterson never did, really. He had nowhere to put the weight. He wasn't just wasn't a brawny man. You know, so. Anyway.
All right, guys. Well, we'll see you next week. Appreciate all your time, Bob. Thanks a million. Please stay safe down there. Tell your wife we appreciate everything she does. For all those servicemen down there, and we look forward to possibly seeing you down here in the near future. So, ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every day of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces. men and women, police and fire services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, please acknowledge them. These programs are also dedicated to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Kolkep, Sergeant Thomas Banger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Anofo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogle, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Corporal James O'Connor, Philadelphia Police Department, Sergeant Rodney Bond, Delaware State Police, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Ardith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, FDLE Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio, Delaware State Trooper Corporal Stephen Boward, Kissimmee Patrol Officer Matt Baxter, Kissimmee Sergeant Sam Howard, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Bill Gentry, Highland County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Clay Zerba, Clay County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Natalie Corona, L.A. County Sheriff's Department, Deputy April Rodriguez, Pasco County Sheriff's Department, Officer Bob McKetchin, Biloxi, Kentucky Police Department, and Trooper Joe Bullock, Florida Highway Patrol. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, when the roads rise up to meet you, may the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly at your field, and the wind be always... And may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hand. And have a great week, everyone.
Shem alech ma yilama, shem ahezah yilama, son ashen evorat fed hakuig again. My
1999. County Dispatch to 1999. County Dispatch to 1999. All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.